Hey guys, Jason Agnew here. It is Sunday night's main event. We're coming at you once again, as we do each and every week. Appreciate you downloading. Remember, if you want more of what we do, sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. And along with that, for this particular show, which is, of course, free, all we'd ask is that you rate the show on your iTunes, in your podcatcher. Just click 5 stars would be great. That would be amazing. But I don't want to tell you what to do. But thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening to Sunday night's main event. And now, on with the show.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
AEW pays tribute to Brody Lee. Sammy Guevara is the new TNT champion and it's draft days in WWE. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week of Sunday Night's Main Event. We are Canada's wrestling radio program powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery, and coming at you across this great country on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and we've got another weekly wrap-up of all there is that you need to know in the world of pro wrestling. To kick things off tonight, I'll chat with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to get injury updates on Alexa Bliss and Sheamus, and what exactly is WWE's plan for the King and Queen of the Ring. Then later in the show, I'll be joined by one half of our NXT Talk podcast, host Matthew Ederer, to try to make sense of the nonsense that is the WWE draft. We'll also take a look back at another emotional week in the world of AEW, and maybe I'll get him to talk about NXT, but wow, it's gone downhill. Plus, Ablaze, Spade, Nitro, Impact, Mundo, Morrison birthday edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. That's all to come for this hour, but remember, if this hour isn't enough for you, we're coming at you with podcast audio each and every day. Just sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio and get a daily podcast covering Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, Rampage, and even NXT delivered right to you via your podcatcher for only $1 a week. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio. A break and then we're back with Dave Meltzer. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
In 1987, when Great Lakes Brewery was established, a lager was born. It came and went, but now has returned, along with the original label and stunning artwork. Every label tells a tale. So let's look at the story behind the Great Lakes Premium Lager label. Starting at the bottom left, we see the waves of the Great Lakes, which, at times, can be quite treacherous. Swing up to the top right. A mighty schooner cuts through the lake water majestically. Slide across to the left to see a blue cranberry bush, I think. Now, diagonally one panel over, and we'll see a sailboat gliding along a mustache, I believe. Or is that a bowl of strawberry swirl ice cream with a nose on it, smelling a yellow mushroom and a blue dancing dinosaur, all the while atop a blue snake and her snake child? What the heck is that? Look, all that matters is Great Lakes Premium Lager from GLB is crisp and clean and ticks all the boxes of a truly crushable beer.
Ridiculous.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider.
Guess who's back?
With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Diving into the news of the week here on Sunday night's main event, and there is no one better to do that with than the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Dave Meltzer joins me, and Dave, well, we're halfway through the draft, and you know, Dave, to me, every year it just feels more nonsensical and inconsequential.
Yeah, I mean, I saw obviously the SmackDown show, and then the names that they announced after SmackDown, and you know, it's movement, but yeah, I mean, there was nothing. I mean, yeah, you know, so Charlotte Flair's on Raw and Becky Lynch will, I mean, on SmackDown, Becky Lynch will probably end up on Raw, maybe. I mean, that's what it, and I kind of feel Seth Rollins will probably end up on Raw as well. And but it's like the same company, so it's yeah. I mean, New Day broke up again, which I was a little surprised at that one.
Yeah, me too. I just mean, Dave, you know, there's just no rules. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't know who was up for grabs. We didn't know the rules of what was happening. Sometimes a tag team's together. Sometimes a tag team is apart. And it's just like, it's a draft. We're familiar with this from watching all the sports. We know how drafts work, and WWE just defies the logic of what a draft should be. And this year, you got the same representatives from Raw and SmackDown, which really takes away from it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that you should have, like, you know, figures from each show doing picks as opposed to the way they do it. I went to the draft show in Vegas a couple of years ago, and as a live show, it was, you know, it was just it wasn't a great live show. I'll say that. And this one, watching it, didn't feel like it was going to be that great of a live experience. Now, as far as TV, I mean, it's something, but. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I mean, based on the preliminary ratings, it was the same rating as they usually get for SmackDown. It didn't go up. I mean, we'll see if that happens for Raw. I mean, it's just a way to freshen up matches and everything. But, you know, in some ways, the thing is with the promotion, because, you know, okay, so they'll do new matches that they'll redo over and over and over again. But there's a big problem with WWE right now, and that... the draft doesn't alleviate that problem, although the draft... I mean, I remember before, like last year, it's like, okay, by week three after the draft... And here's the other one, too. It's like the draft doesn't take effect for 3 weeks.
Yeah, so then, what's that about?
Just a chance to put people on both shows for a couple weeks and build up ratings for Crown Jewel. And then after that, you know, it's like by about 3 weeks in, it's just kind of like it's back to normal. So it's like there's no... I think the first couple of years they did it, there was great excitement for draft day, and the last couple of years it's pretty much waned to where there really isn't, you know. But there's really not great excitement about the company right now. There really isn't. I mean, that's another issue.
Yeah, that is definitely true. Okay, so a couple of things that we did see, developments that are notable. Austin Theory moves from NXT, but also Hit Row moves up to the main roster right away. Hit Row, Dave, I felt like their branding tied right into what the new NXT is, and I thought they were going to kind of be the head honchos, the main faction there. I was very surprised to see them on the move.
A lot of people, I know people in NXT were, but I heard like on the people telling me that on Tuesday it was kind of known that, you know, you know, I think that they liked the act. AJ Francis pushes some of their buttons, which is top dollar, you know, big agile guy, and they can promo. Strickland, Isaiah Scott's a very good wrestler. Ashante's kind of there. I mean, he's, and B-Fab, I think, has a good look to her. But my God, she was probably in the worst WWE television match in a year on Tuesday night. I mean, that match was just atrocious. So that was like, when I saw that, it's like, well, I hope that she's not, you know, up there to do a lot of wrestling, and she's just, you know, but she probably will. So, we'll see. You know, and even with like AJ Francis, who obviously they think a lot of,
mm-hmm.
he's not that experienced. I mean, he's clearly, you know, big agile guy and obviously a big wrestling fan and everything like that. But he isn't that experienced, and on the main roster, a lot of times that chews you up pretty quick.
Let's talk about another announcement. We knew this was coming. Both the King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring officially announced for WWE. Says it starts next week. Initial reports had it ending at Crown Jewel. Is that still the case, and do we have any idea what the format is? Elimination, round robin, side
versus
side?
I figure it's single elimination, okay. And as far as the end date, that's the date I heard, but they didn't say that on the air.
Nope.
So that means it could all be television, too.
Okay. Just so many things you don't know looking at WWE while we like follow this product in depth, and there's still so many questions that are left out there. Let's talk Alexa Bliss and Sheamus. So both are out for surgery. Sheamus has had his surgery on his nose, and Alexa's going in for it's not a similar type of surgery, but a similar section. It's her nose, right?
Yeah, it's a nose surgery. Yeah. So they'll both. I guess for surgery, they'll probably be out for a little while. I mean, they were both kind of written out by losing matches and everything like that. And like when Alexa comes back, it's probably going to be with a different character because it felt like that was the blow off of the character, you know, tearing up the doll and everything. Unless, you know, in the Hocus Pocus, it had run its course. So, you know, it's probably for the best.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, she is a very talented performer. She's one of the few individuals that is able to digest the scripture that she's given and turn them around to perform well. So I think it does bode well for her to get out of that character at this point.
I think so. I think this the character, like, it did cause a lot of stir early on, but after a while it really limits you and there's just not that much you can do. And it just becomes silly and stupid for the product itself after a while. So yeah, it's probably it is for the best for her. I mean, they were going to have to do it at some point, and this is as good a time as any.
Let's talk AEW. This week we had the Brody Lee tribute on AEW Dynamite, the Rochester show. Thoughts on how AEW once again handled this? I'll say tremendously.
I thought tremendously too. You know, I mean, they have set a new standard on stuff. It feels more authentic with them as compared to some of the other stuff I've seen. Not that some of the other stuff at times has not felt authentic, but it felt, you know, I mean, no one else has like involved the family and things like that. And in a very different way. And, you know, as far as everything, because it wasn't the overriding thing. It was on the show, but there was a lot more on the show than just that. It wasn't like 2 hours or 3 hours of just that. It was like a segment on the shows that ended up, you know, like especially on the Rampage, you end the show and you kind of have that feel good spot, and it was well done. Yeah.
Now, one of the things that did happen this week, and we talked about it last week, I thought we were going to get the debut of CJ Perry helping Rusev to a win. Sorry, Miro, that is, to a win. But instead we got Sammy Guevara winning the TNT title. This is something that I think people looked upon very favorably, and Sammy's time is now because Miro is established.
Yeah, I thought it was the right move. I think that every one of these guys that they've got that are on the way up, you know, like the four pillars, and I think there's even more than that because I would consider Dante Martin also in the class with Jungle Boy and MJF. MJF, you know, he's winning all his matches, so he actually doesn't fit in this category. But the babyface is Sammy Guevara, Jungle Boy, you know, Darby, who's already established actually as a star too. So it's really Dante. You know, these guys, you're kind of waiting for their big win, and you know it's going to come. And for Sammy, I just thought this was the night for him to do it, and he did. And, you know, Miro's matches have all been really good. It actually, like, all of his matches with the DDT spot, the tornado DDT is in almost every match that he sells really big, doing it right before the finish. It's kind of like a long-term payoff, of everything. And, you know, he messed up Sammy's friend, took his car, which was perfect to do right before the buddy gets the revenge. I really liked the way that storyline built. And, you know, Sammy coming off of everything, how good he was in Stadium Stampede, which was months ago, that it was time to do something with him now, and they did.
And Bobby Fish is going to be his first challenger this week. This is an interesting name to throw out there, something that had been built up, I mean, somewhat on Twitter, but has been shown on the TV as well. What's the status with Bobby Fish? A one-off, or he's got a place here now?
I think, as far as I know, he's not signed a contract. So I would call it a tryout match, I guess. You know, I mean, if he does great, they probably would bring him in. If he does so-so, I don't know. I mean, he's booked for MLW actually, I think he worked last night there. But from what I understand, it was one of those. He did not have a contract there either. So usually when they have someone, if they say, like, so-and-so is all elite, that means they signed a full-time contract. Coming in means that he would probably sign a per-date deal. So it's kind of a contract, but it's like at their whim. You know, if we book you, you know, you're getting paid X amount. I would call this a tryout.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, there is a history of this working out, though, because if we go way back to the early days, dare I say that, of AEW, Ricky Starks, I believe, had his first tryout for the TNT title, and then...
Eddie Kingston, too.
Eddie Kingston, too. Wow, it seems
and
that's
then,
quite the trend.
And Warhorse, who didn't make it. Wasn't it
right.
Warhorse?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, the guy that wrestled Cody and didn't do well. So, yeah. When Cody was champion, that was his idea of bringing in guys from the outside and, you know, giving them the tryouts, and the ones who look good come on the roster. And so this is actually, you know, kind of going back to that same idea that the champion will face guys that are not in the company and probably, you know, they're not going to win, but they have a chance to make a name on national television.
Dave, The Observer this week highlights what you got for us.
Whatever the news comes up during the week, I'm going to try to do like a business comparison for the month of September, which actually would be pretty favorable to AEW's, but I do want to kind of look at like all the different things and see like where it really stands. You know, cause there's stuff going on right now. And I mean, it may be temporary, it may be long-term, you know, where you look at, you know, the Survivor Series ticket sales are a shock to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
being as low as they are, I thought they were going to instantly sell out. They didn't. And obviously, the UBS Arena in New York, the WWE ticket sales there are very weak. It's not that way in every market. But it is interesting that it feels like in the number one market, which is the WWE stronghold, which is New York, that AEW is the number one promotion in that market right now, which is. Like there were markets where I thought AEW would probably be number one early on, and Chicago being probably the first one, but New York wasn't one of them because New York's been that WWE stronghold since the beginning of time, and New York is also usually ahead of the curve, not behind the curve, and Vince would always go, as the garden goes, you know, his father would tell him, as the garden goes, goes the business, and given all of that, I would think if I worked for WWE, like, you know, like financially they're doing phenomenal, better than they've ever done before. But as far as like, you know, being number one with fans, I would take this as a sign that I would react to very, very quickly. And, you know, Vince is doing reaction, but his reaction is just a hot shot the television show.
Right.
I mean, there's bigger problems. You know, it's like, yeah, you can put on five championship matches on TV like they did Monday and eke out a win, and it was eking out, and they still lost with men. And I mean, to me, that's like, you know, there's a lot of signs here that this thing, this race between these two companies is got really close really fast, and it may have already turned a corner in some places, and it has in some places, faster than people expected. You know, like, I think that people thought, well, they're close now. Well, you know what? I mean, they may be, with men, they may be ahead already. I mean, maybe by even a significant margin, and by ticket buyers, they may be ahead. Maybe it's just a novelty, and WWE will be back on top in 6 months. Maybe it's the, but you know, AEW is presenting much better shows, and in the long run, you would think that that's part of the thing, too, is that if you keep out-producing the other guys, at some point, the consumers are going to follow. And it's funny because WWE used to say that in 97 when they were behind WCW, and it took a year before the ratings and the attendance really showed, but it did. And I think AEW has been out-producing WWE since day one, and you know, they started from scratch, whereas, you know, the WWE had that long history when they were going against AEW, so it's a lot harder. But it's, put it this way, you know, they're 2 years into TV, and it's way closer than it has any right to be. And the idea that WWE would have less viewers on a Friday SmackDown on Fox than AEW does, less male age and 49 viewers, I should say. But that's the key demo. Less male viewers than, you know, on TNT than WWE has on Fox. That should never happen.
Nope.
I mean, the advantage of Fox is much too big for that to happen, but here we are. It happened.
Look forward to that comparison, Dave, and chatting with you next week, of course. Same time, same place. You can get everything at WrestlingObserver.com. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, have a great week.
YouTube, as I said, Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find all of his writings and podcasts. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll test your knowledge with a birthday edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. So many aliases to come. And then later in the show, Matthew, editor of NXT Talk, will join me to talk about NXT, but I'll also give him the opportunity to talk about other things because NXT... What's happened? That is all still to come. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do, and no one struts quite like I do too, and no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale, my beer, your beer, our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery, brewed for you, Ontario.
Are you fluent in sports? Check out the Sports Fluent Network for all your sports needs. And be more in the loop with great shows like this one, Sunday Night's Main Event, and The Coach, an AK experience with NFL coach Hugh Jackson. You can find these shows and so much more at sportsfluent.com.
Sunday Night's Main Event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. patreon.com/SNMEradio.
All right, guys, you know how the gimmick works, so let's get into it here.
Which Matt is it?
It's Matt from Dark Side of the Elite, the podcast. No. Yeah.
You retired again me last time we played.
What am I? No!
Yeah.
Yeah.
You beat him last time.
Yeah, he said he was done with Turnbuckle Trivia last time we played.
Oh, my goodness. Well, now I'm just going to put this on the air. I didn't realize that this had happened. Well, yeah. We should probably just start this trivia then.
Oh, my goodness.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there! And they stay there! And they stay there!
Welcome back to Turnbuckle Trivia. It's Sunday Night's Main Event. I just played you a little clip there to start things off. It's crazy. We have two replacements today on the show, and they happen to be guys that jumped in, ready to play... And turns out there's the storyline here. It's Matt from Toronto, who is one of the hosts of the Dark Side of the Elite podcast. And it turns out in the tournament, Matt, you retired the guy who's totally pulling a wrestling stip, Paul from the UK, coming out of retirement. And Paul, you volunteered with no idea who you were playing.
Not a clue.
Well, this is quite the matchup here. Well, gentlemen... We are going to get into this trivia. The winner here will receive bragging rights, and along with that, we'll get a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Looking forward to it. Let's get into it. Matt, you're player one. Paul, you're player two. 5 questions each. You know how it works, so let's roll into it. By the way, today, guys, let's just wish John Morrison a happy 42nd birthday, and let's learn a little bit about him. Matt, first question is for you. What's John Morrison's real name?
Oh, my. Oh. I'm not sure.
Oh, you were out on John Hennigan is the correct answer there. Okay, Paul, for you. Now, in June of 2018, Morrison married the then Taya Valkyrie, now known as Frankie Monet. But what's her real name?
I don't know.
It's Kira Renee Magnin Forster. I would have taken Kira Forster. Tough one, I know. So I've equaled that on out. Matt, back to you. John Morrison was the co-winner of Tough Enough 3. Who is the other winner?
Ooh. God, I'm not sure.
Ooh, it was.
Rough go here.
You knew that one, Paul? I mean, there's no steals, but it was, Paul?
Is it Matt Capitelli?
It was Matt Capitelli. Too bad it wasn't your question. Let's see if you know this one, Paul. We all remember John Morrison when he debuted with Eric Bischoff on Raw as Johnny Nitro, but he was actually given that name right after he had two other names in his debut. Give me one of the first two names that Johnny Morrison / Johnny Nitro was called on Raw.
Sorry, I've got Johnny Blaze in my head, but I don't know why.
That's the correct answer. Congratulations, Johnny Blaze or Johnny Spade before he became Johnny Nitro. Very good, Paul, pulling that one out. Hey, Matt, over to you for this one. Johnny Nitro would return after he was sent down to OVW. He'd come back as a part of the tag team MNM. What did those initials stand for?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
You should know this, Matt.
I know I should. I'm kicking myself right now.
And I'm kicking you out for a time delay. Mercury, Nitro, Melina.
Yeah.
MNM. Oh my goodness.
Morrison is not a good one for me.
No, apparently not.
No.
Well, here we go, Paul. Back to you. On June 24th, 2007, the then Johnny Nitro won the ECW Championship in a tournament after Bobby Lashley vacated it. Who did he defeat in the finals of that tournament?
CM Punk.
Wow, you knew that one full on. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, you need to get in here, Matt. You need to get this to stay alive.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania 27, Morrison would be involved in a celebrity match. He would team up with Trish Stratus and Snooki from Jersey Shore. But what trio stood across the ring from them?
Oh, my God. Jesus. I don't know. I'm going over here. I don't know. I can't remember.
Correct answer, Ziggler and Laycool. And with that, he doesn't need to go any further. Matt, you jumped in. I'm going to bring you back sooner than later. But coming out of retirement for the nostalgia win to beat the guy that put him into retirement, what a storyline, Paul.
I feel like Terry Funk.
Well, I look forward to you retiring about 18 more times. Paul,
I'll tell you what now, I'm going to throw my name back in the tournament.
Oh my goodness, he's declaring the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. Paul, I look forward to hearing you in that. You're getting a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Congratulations, awesome. My friend. Thanks for jumping in. Matt, we're going to talk to you again pretty soon, all right?
Yeah, hopefully something's in my wheelhouse next time. This one was not my best performance at all, but I appreciate letting me on the air with you guys. And Paul, it's a pleasure playing against you, man.
Matt, you know this means it's one apiece, so we have to have the rubber match.
That's right. I'm looking forward to it one day, my friend.
Look at this feud of brewing. All right, guys, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, cool.
Hey, remember, guys, if you want to play in the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, then by all means, sign up right now. It's patreon.com/SNME Radio. It'll start in January. But before then, I'll be able to get you in to play for a t-shirt. And on top of that, here's an announcement for you. For all of you who are patrons at the Turnbuckle Trivia level and above, there will be a Christmas gift coming your way. It's actually really neat. You know we talk about Great Lakes beer on this show all the time. They are the best. We love our beers. And sometimes when you get a beer that's a bottle and it's not a twist-off, you need a bottle cap opener. We have bottle cap opener keychains that are full-on metal and branded Sunday Night's Main Event. They will be mailed to you at the beginning of December as a Christmas gift from me to you to say thank you for being patrons of Sunday Night's Main Event. Everyone who is in the Turnbuckle Trivia level or above will get those sent to them just with your Patreon subscription. So if you're a patron right now, upgrade to that level. And if you're not, what are you waiting for? Join on in, become a patron at the Turnbuckle Trivia level. You're going to get a keychain. Plus, you could win a t-shirt when you actually play the game. We got to take a break. When we come back, Matthew Editor will join us to chat all things that was pro wrestling this week. And I'll ask him how he's coping with the NXT 2.0. All of that to come next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Too much small talk coming from your senseless mind.
Here we go. I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins-Jillian, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial. And it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, Jason at snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to Jason at snmeradio.com.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
Down south slangin', rollin' with these hustlers, tryin' to get rid of all you haters and you busted. Down south slangin', rollin' with these hustlers, tryin' to get rid of all you haters and you busted.
Well, welcome back. It is our final segment of Sunday Night's Main Event, but it's going to be a meaty one as we get into the nitty-gritty of all things WWE and AEW. But let's save the best for last, so leave AEW aside for right now. Joining me on the show for this chat, one half of our NXT Talk team, from our Patreon podcast, it's Matthew Editor. And Matt, I've been subtly making fun of you the whole show because you came on board covering NXT and making many people envious, and now you're coming and now you're still covering NXT, and believe me, no one is envious of you anymore.
Oh man, yeah, the wheels are completely off this wagon, that's for sure. But you know what? It does make for some entertaining podcasts. At least we do get to rant and rave about the destruction of our nice NXT brand that we loved and held so dear.
Well, you know, when it flipped over, and I was speaking to Dave about this earlier, to me, this whole brand was, it looked a lot like the Hit Row gimmick gone wild. I felt like they had actually caught something with Hit Row, and when they turned over and they even used the hip-hop music to start things off, and it's a lot of that feel, and I'm like, you know what? Hit Row is going to be the main faction for NXT 2.0, and good for them to headline this brand. Well, I watched the draft on Friday, and Hit Row is taken as a faction to SmackDown. What's going on?
I was shocked. And Boris had mentioned that he'd heard some rumblings on the internet that Hit Row was going to get picked, and we talked about it. We both think, well, Swerve is ready. The other three, I think they still need like 6 months to a year at least, especially B-Fab.
Ooh.
I don't know if you saw the B-Fab versus Electra Lopez match on NXT TV.
Worst match in how long? Worst match on WWE TV in how long, would you say?
It was a rough one. I don't even, and like, it's not even the fault of B-Fab. She just is way, way too green, too new to be put in such a high-profile position, in my opinion. I think Swerve is ready, but yeah, I just think it's way too early for those guys. Now, they're all talented. All four people can talk. They're all really, really, like, engaging personalities. You do want to see them. They are stars in the making. But man, it just feels like 6 months to a year too early.
Yeah, I definitely think B-Fab is the greenest of the green there. I have high expectations for Top Dollar. I think that he's big like WWE wants, and he does have the gift of the gab as well. I mean, I like that gimmick, but even when I watched them, Matt, I gotta say, it's like the foundation was there, and maybe the house was there, but it needed to be decorated. I don't know if that makes sense. All I'm saying is they needed the subtleties to make themselves a finished product. They were not a finished product. They were not a polished act, but, you know, the bones are good.
Absolutely. You know what? It's as though they knew they had something here and they just couldn't wait.
Yeah.
They were just like, we need this new interesting act. They're obviously they're all people of color. There's a woman involved. It's checking a lot of boxes, sure. These guys. And I completely understand why they're doing it. But yeah, man, it's just like they should have still been heels in NXT. Never mind. They should still be the cool heels who the fans are getting behind organically. The whole thing has just been very rushed. Having said all this, they're quite talented, especially Swerve, and I think they're all going to be fine. I do.
All right. Well, general thoughts on the draft. I've gone on my little soapbox here earlier in the show about I just don't understand. You're a sports guy. I'm somewhat a sports guy with my love for baseball. And when you hear the word draft, we know how this is supposed to work in every other sport. And I don't understand why WWE they break all the rules and all the conventions of a draft. And in doing so, make it meaningless.
Absolutely meaningless. We don't even know who's making these selections. We don't know the pool of wrestlers. It's just random. It's just random nonsense. And it seems as though it's been like this for 5-10 years, but they're just at the point where they don't have to care. They don't cross their T's or dot their I's. And it's like, if they don't care, how could any fan possibly care? So it's just, I don't know, I watched every NFL, every NBA, and every NHL draft, I think, since I was like 12 or 13. I'm a huge fan of drafts. And coming from that perspective, they're like soul-crushingly bad. The only good one was the first one with McMahon and Flair in like 2002.
Yeah, back in the day, there was something to them and they seemed to make a difference. But there's also so many missed opportunities here. I mean, the NHL makes a whole deal out of how you get that first draft pick as well. What used to be just the lowest team in the league, now there's like a lottery system involved and they do a whole special on drawing out who gets that first pick. And they have different reps from each team. Like this year didn't even have different reps from both brands. It was just Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce out there saying names for no reason. Like it just, when you think WWE can't get worse, never say never.
Oh, they find
they
new
do.
Ways.
Yeah.
They find new ways to break your heart every single time. And yeah, these drafts are getting worse, not better, which to me is shocking, especially now that they're involved with Fox. You'd think that they would have some kind of somebody there who watches sports to be like, hey, like, can we have some sort of plan going into this? Can we have a general manager maybe, or at least a representative from each program? So yeah, it's like you said, it was just random names flying everywhere for kind of no reason.
I also burst out laughing when the show was opened and Michael Cole sat there and said, the draft is happening tonight, but it doesn't take effect until the day after Crown Jewel. And we're on the radio, so I can't say the expletives that I said while sitting there. I dropped a few F-bombs and then I burst out laughing because that was even dumber than I thought they could ever be.
It's just the whole thing is rendered pointless from minute one. It's absolutely wild. It's wild how little they care, but they can get away with it. So, hey.
So one thing that we did get, we got the New Day broken up, which kind of surprised me. You?
Yeah, same. I just don't see the point in it, much like breaking up Mace and T-Bar, which is a lower level thing. But yeah, it seems like they were kind of, it's nice every time they come out together, and it seems like they had a good thing going. I wouldn't, in kayfabe, why would SmackDown have selected the tag team after Big E was selected? In kayfabe, why would Raw break up Big E again from his tag team partners? Makes no sense.
You mentioned Mason T-Bar breaking up. Yep, that happened. Oh, too bad. And Austin Theory is the other NXT player to move to Raw. We could see more NXT movement going to Raw or SmackDown on Monday. Austin Theory, though, to me, someone who had a really rough time initially when he was just playing the pretty boy, but found a really nice part playing off Johnny Gargano as a bit of a Mimbo. And I really loved his comedy side. Maybe it's not best for his career, but I think having him out there on his own has all the potential in the world to expose him. And he may be running after the 24/7 title in a matter of weeks.
You might be onto something. One thing that scares me about him is his character is quite similar to Matt Riddle. And Vince McMahon loves Matt Riddle. I don't know if he's going to have room in his heart for a second Matt Riddle. You know what I mean? I don't know. He might need to tweak the character a little bit, because he's basically just a different take on Surfer Idiot, you know?
I wouldn't even be surprised if he's not that character.
Like, highly possible.
Just completely drop what they've done with them, erase it, and move along. Drew McIntyre moves to SmackDown. That one is everything I expected to happen, Matt, except for what happened on Monday when Drew walked out and challenged Big E with a sword, but he has unfinished business with Roman. So I was like, for sure Drew is going. Then I watched Monday and I'm like, oh, I guess Drew's not going because he's going to stick around for Big E, but he does ultimately get drafted to SmackDown. Like, confusing for no reason.
Absolutely. It does still seem like they're in that weird territory mindset where someone has to lose on their way out. You know what I mean? Like, it's as though Drew is going to have to lose to Big E to put him over on his way out of the territory to go to the show on Fridays. It's very strange. I don't get that at all.
Which is a terrible idea because, you know, Drew has been someone that has been quite well protected, and Roman is obviously ultimately protected. They have unfinished business already. So Drew chasing Roman should be a good program, one that we've waited for. But if you have him lose to Big E before he makes the jump, you've just removed the protection that he's had.
Absolutely. You've taken a lot of steam out of that match. But again, they don't seem like they bother to begin to care about these things. They don't have to. They don't want to. They just produce content.
We care too much. I guess we care too much when we talk about this thing. All right. Well, to finish up for our WWE conversation, Bill Goldberg will be appearing at Raw tomorrow. We'll see if he kills anyone, because that's what he's into now. After his promo on Monday, to you as a fan and someone who saw some of Goldberg in his prime, I mean, I thought he had some legs behind him when he first started making appearances again, and there was what I thought was a pretty good program with Lesnar. But now, Goldberg, to me, I'm in the Dan Lavransky camp. I'm done. I want nothing to do with Goldberg, and I don't see how him, especially now coming back, designed to beat Lashley in Saudi Arabia, does anyone any good?
I couldn't agree with you more. Were you at the Goldberg versus Lesnar match in Toronto?
No. I think I was watched because I had to do the show right afterwards, so I actually wasn't there. You were there?
I did go, and I'll tell you, that was an event. And like going home, walking down the subway, people were yelling about wrestling. Like, people were pumped. That was a really big moment. Goldberg did have legs, but those days are over. I actually looked this up in preparation of perhaps talking about Goldberg. Do you know that he's on a 3-match losing streak? It's gotta be the first 3-match losing streak of his career.
Maybe that's his new gimmick, Matt. Maybe now he's the ultimate loser to go with the ultimate winner that he was in WCW. And they can start accelerating that so he'll show up the next time. You say 3 this time, he shows up one more time, it's actually 8, 12, and it just gets exponentially bigger.
That's amazing. That's basically what they have to do with him at this point. Like, yeah, he's far past his expiry date. So, yeah, WrestleMania 36 last year, he lost to Strowman. At the Royal Rumble this year, he lost to Drew Mack. And at SummerSlam, just not too long ago, he lost to Lashley. So I think for sure he's got to win this next match. Otherwise, what are we even doing here? Like, if they want to bring him back at all, he's winning against Lashley.
Which
coming
is up. Really, really bad for Lashley, who's another guy that was extremely protected for years at this point. But we won't even, listen, I'll talk about Lashley and we'll do all that on the midweek markout with Mark Andrada, because we've got to deal with the draft, the nonsensical draft. Let's talk about things that do make sense. I mean, every week, Matt, you're talking NXT with Boris, and then you also do BAM as well, so you get a little bit of the flavor of the other things that are going on, but you don't often get the chance to chat about AEW, and I mean, it's undoubtedly right now one of the, if not the best product that is out there, so let's give you this opportunity to chat about it. I mean, what stuck out for you in this week of AEW? We can start there, and then I'll continue on through.
Awesome. Well, especially coming from watching NXT so much, so closely, taking notes and stuff, what stood out the most was how much of a star Adam Cole is, how ready he was to be on the mainstream, the biggest possible stage. He's instantly one of the biggest stars in that company. He's got a theme song that's topping the iTunes chart. Like, this man has arrived already, and it's just so, so terrible that WWE couldn't see it. But you know what? It's AEW's gain, and we as wrestling fans are certainly way better for it. So I'm just, what stands out to me is how quickly Adam Cole became like a prime time player in that company.
Well, it's because AEW didn't see the need to make him pay his dues in the company and go on a losing streak. He shows up. Actually, I wanted to talk about a losing streak or a loss here. Now, Adam Cole beat Jungle Boy, and granted, he utilized the low blow, and this was your opener for Dynamite this week. Super hot opener. At what point, though, Matt, is Jungle Boy losing one too many times? Are we close to that?
I think we're getting close, but I do not think we're there yet. I still think we need to remember that Jungle Boy is in a tag team. He's a tag team wrestler. He's in that Bret Hart in the Hart Foundation, Shawn Michaels in the Rockers, Jeff Hardy in like 2000. That's where he is right now. So it's okay for him to lose to people who are going to be in the upper crust, in the main event. And basically those are the only people he loses to. I'm okay with it, but we need to pump the brakes very soon. He's getting close to becoming like a Lex Luger almost, the guy who just can't win the big one.
I do think though, because I'm wondering about that as well, how many times he can lose. If there's one person that could actually be successful, and believe me, I don't think AEW is going to do this, but remember how Daniel Bryan was just booked to lose, 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 and the crowd got behind him? Jungle Boy has something about him that the crowd loves this guy. And I think that he just has this physical charisma about him, which you're always kind of rooting for him. It's a bit of the rooting for the underdog, and I think he should be able to withstand any sort of booking. And believe me, I don't think AEW will do this, but I do just think that he's so lovable that the losses aren't hurting him at this point.
I agree that they aren't hurting him yet, but I do think we could be nearing a point where he starts to come across like the guy who can't win the big one. But you have a good point. A lot of it is his hair. He's just he's a good looking young man, you know, but you definitely want to root for this guy. He reminds me a lot of babyface Shawn Michaels in a lot of ways, like that young Rockers Shawn Michaels.
He's always been the Ricky Steamboat. Doesn't say all that much, but the crowd loves him. And just the quintessential baby face. This week on Dynamite, we got a 16-person tag match that involved the Dark Order. Now, I looked at this and I'm like, okay, you know what? This is just too many people. I'm not behind the Dark Order, but I gotta say, when Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, and Colt Cabana were sent back to the ring by the widow of John Huber, everything that happened in the next 3 to 5 minutes that was pure insanity was one of those moments where I'm watching wrestling and I put down the phone and I move the computer away and I just watch. And I'm just like, wow, this is whatever's happening right now has that wrestling magic that you wait for. And we saw it this week with the end of this match.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, like, I'm glad they don't go to Minus One and Amanda Huber too often, because it can come across, I don't think it has yet, but it could one day come across as like pandering or like a little cheesy. But I think in this moment, it worked extremely well. And yeah, I agree. The Dark Order is the worst thing on the show, in my opinion. I have less time for the Dark Order than anything else in AEW. So I did think that it was nice for them to actually get a good entertaining moment here on AEW Dynamite.
Now, one of the things that Dan Lavransky would have said is the worst thing on Dynamite, previous to maybe the developments that we've seen, is the American Top Team angle and the Men of the Year. They were given a promo this week on Dynamite. Have these guys finally found their footing, in your opinion, or are they doomed to be the guys to take the fall for American Top Team?
Oof, it could be both. It could honestly be both. I think Ethan Page is really finding his footing here. I don't mind the Dan Lambert promos, but they are a little one note, aren't they? He kind of says the same thing every single week. It was nice to see Scorpio talk, but yeah, the crowd seemed to turn on him in the bad way, in the X-Pac heat kind of way. So I don't know. I don't think this is a main event gimmick. I don't think, you know, coming out here and saying like, you fans, blah, blah, blah. It's a pretty base mid-card heel gimmick, but I think it'll keep them on the roster and in a prominent place, you know?
Yeah, they do have to progress. The one note is a good way of describing Lambert. And don't get me wrong, I like Lambert. I even like the tone of the promo, and I like that note. I just need to hear a couple other notes that are thrown into the mix. And you talk about multiple notes. MJF is a symphony when he cuts a promo. This week, the promo on Darby Allin, You know, the best parts of wrestling are when you take something that is based in reality and blow it up 10 times. And this week they did that. And you know that Darby was behind this and was willing to do this and telling the story about how he became straight edge. I didn't know that story. Did you?
Actually, I had, because he is pretty open with it in interviews. Yeah.
So they tell Darby's straight edge story and the gimmick behind it, and MJF goes after him. I mean, the promo itself was awesome. I even thought Darby was decent on the mic returning. It's not something he should do often, but in a situation like this, I thought it was appropriate to have Darby speak. My question to you, though, is by unleashing this straight edge gimmick on TV and putting Darby into the promo with MJF and strategically having one CM Punk sitting at commentary this week, do you think the next step for MJF is going to be a feud and a war on the mic with CM Punk?
I hadn't even considered that. I hadn't drawn that parallel, but you know that's coming. I hope so. I hope they get to it sooner rather than later. I agree with you about MJF. I think he's doing fantastic work, and I think it's a lot. I've actually seen on the internet some fans say, like, his latest promos, this one and the one on Brian Pillman Jr., have been, like, in poor taste, and he's like, I don't know, he's not doing good work, which I disagree with. I don't think it's in poor taste if it's a silly comment on a wrestling show that two parties agree to. You know what I mean? I just think it's pro wrestling. I think the crowd reacts like crazy every time MJF gets a microphone, and he makes me want to see him get his ass beat. So he's doing a great job as a heel.
I think, yeah, you're right. If it's two parties that are agreeing to do this, they're not, it's not even, I was going to say they don't go off script, but it's like, it's not a script, it's an idea. And clearly they've cleared between the two of them what to say. I can't see the way that Tony Khan treats his locker room and treats his storylines that he's allowing to people go out there and go completely off script, shall we say. Instead, these are guys who want to do their best. They have a product that is rooted in real life, and therefore you have agreement of both parties. And that shocking nature is not shocking to the performer, because that's not what you want, but it's shocking to these smart fans, and it's playing off things that they know. And once again, I talk about this all the time. It's a reward for being a wrestling fan. It's a reward for knowing about these people, about what's happened in the past in wrestling, and it's nuggets like this that are thrown out that if you get it, it's rewarding to watch.
That's well put. And you know what? I think WWE so often does the opposite, where they either just ignore history or try to create their own. That is so nice that a wrestling company is based in some form of reality. So I love it every time they do those. I actually really enjoy it. I think MJF is doing a fabulous job.
Yeah, I mean, every week you live in a world where the legend of the Breaker family is leading NXT 2.0.
Oh, big pop, break, Papa Pump, I guess it is. Yeah. Oh, man. You know what, though? Having said that, one thing that NXT 2.0 is actually doing right is this kid, Bron Breakker. They have done nothing but good work with him so far, 3 weeks in.
I believe he's Mojo Rawley's cousin. Is that it? Because that's how he looks
Rawley
to me.
Mojo Rawley wishes.
That's how he looks to me. Mojo Rawley, by the way, is now on TMZ doing TMZ Sports.
Interesting.
Yeah. Rampage. Let's chat about this before we say goodbye. Bryan Danielson versus Nick Jackson. People have lost their minds over this match. Listen, it makes sense that it's great. You got Danielson in the ring and Jackson in the ring. Handcuffs are off. Considering who they are and the freedom that they have, sure, it's going to be great. But due to the stakes involved, I mean, I'm not one to sit here and rate this anywhere near Omega versus Danielson. And I think some people are getting a little carried away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, just for comparison's sake, and not to get too far up my own butt here, but so Boris and I for BAM are doing a top 121 list, the top 121 of 2021, best matches of the year. I think Omega versus Danielson is safely in the top five, and Danielson versus Nick Jackson probably won't be on the list. You know, it was still like, it was a very good wrestling match, but I don't know. I don't think it was in the neighborhood of Danielson versus Omega.
Thunder Rosa versus Jade Cargill versus Nyla Rose. I was shocked that Thunder Rosa was pinned in this match. I feel like Thunder Rosa is someone who should not be pinned. She's the future leader of the division. I understand with keeping Jade Cargill strong, but Nyla Rose is a player of the past for me in this division. I think she should have taken the pin here. Even if it was, even if you wanted Jade to get that pin, there's no way Thunder should have had her shoulders on the mat.
I'm actually surprised by it. At least they did it with like a crazy chair beatdown. And the only way that I'll feel good about this is if Thunder Rosa eventually is the one who ends Jade's streak here.
Right.
And she's the first one to get the win over Jade. I hope that's where we're going with this. But yeah, I was shocked too. That's, they do Thunder Rosa way too dirty. She deserves so much more than she gets.
Do you think that we still have a hair versus hair match coming up of Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think that's the story they were telling, is Matt Hardy's like sacrificing his pawns to Orange Cassidy, and I think we're going to get it on the pay-per-view, and Hardy's going to get his head shaved.
It seems so weird. Yeah, Hardy has to get his head shaved, but it seems so weird that you're doing head shave matches to get to a head shave match.
It is odd, but I kind of like the idea of Hardy sending his like lambs to the slaughter kind of thing. Like it'll be funny if in 3 or 4 weeks they've done 3 or 4 of these, and Matt Hardy just has a bald crew with him. You know, it could be pretty fun.
Not since the Straight Edge Society have we seen that, when Serena Deeb had her head shaved on television, right? Everyone's supposed to get their head shaved in that. I mean, Matt shaving his head, I guess, would be fine. I'm wondering if, you know, Tony has a real knack for making wrestling fans happy. And does that knack extend as far as giving Ed Leslie a call?
Oh, man. Is he moving around well these days? I saw Hulk Hogan recently, and he is not moving around well. I don't know. That would be hilarious.
It would get a huge pop. I mean, just a one-off guy there, just with the, have him come out with the scissors, like the hedge clippers. It would get a huge pop. Hey, how about this? Speaking of huge pops, and I threw out a couple names to Meltzer on earlier in the show. The casino ladder match is happening this week. Pac, Andrade, John Moxley, Lance Archer, Orange Cassidy, Matt Hardy. Who do you think the Joker is here? Is it a debut? Is it a surprise? It is in Philadelphia this week. What do you think is happening with this match? Keeping in mind the winner of the match does get a title shot, but the Joker doesn't necessarily have to be the winner.
Right. It wouldn't surprise me if it was Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
I think he's due to come back, and I think he'd be an awesome addition to the ladder match. I'd like that, kind of fits his style very well. Seems like a great place to bring Paige back and give him the title shot if that's the way they want to do it. But actually, if you put a gun to my head, I think I would say Buddy Murphy. I think
really?
It's going to be him. Yeah.
Yeah, early in the show, I threw out if they're doing Philly, maybe RVD, because RVD and ladder matches do go hand in hand. So
that's a really good call.
We shall see. I mean, again, it's one of those things that just makes fans happy for that one night. And the reason I brought up earlier was the homicide thing they did in New York.
True. Yeah. Yeah, so I wonder, I guess this is the Sandman. How's he doing these days?
No, do not know. That's it. We're done. That's it. We're with the Sandman. We're going to sleep. That wraps it up for Matt and I today on Sunday night's main event. Keep in mind, we are here every Sunday night on terrestrial radio across the iHeartRadio Talk Network. If you're listening via the podcast on the Patreon, you got an extra show. We just did a little editing for those of you who were listening on the free feed. And you're going to hear a lot more of Matt and his partner, Boris. Each week they do NXT Talk. They also do BAM. Hey, what's coming up for BAM this week?
Yeah, we got more G1 talk. We are deep into the G1. We're heading into the home stretch. And Boris has been watching ROH every week, and MLW has started up too, so we're kind of dipping our toes into that. Also, MLB playoff talk. That's heating up, as we all know here in Toronto.
All right. Well, speaking of that, I mean, we're recording this before the big Sunday 3 p.m. all the games go, so we're going to get out and go watch that. But BAM, Boris and Matt. They do their show weekly at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Thanks for doing this tonight, pal.
Thank you very much for having me, man. Always, always a pleasure.
Back next week, same time, same place, wherever you're finding us. We are Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.